time for another WNST Baltimore Sports News Update. Here's Luke Jones.
Mike Elias met with the media as the Orioles concluded their 2024 season.
Thank you for coming. First of all, I want to thank all of you and the fans for your support this season. Clearly a very disappointing, bitter ending, whatever word you want to use. I think a lot of those words were used last night by the players and those of us in the organization that spoke publicly last night. So I don't have much more to add from the emotions that we all feel after the disappointing end to the season. All that I want to say and can say right now is that I am going to work tirelessly to make adjustments and improve and put us in a position to have a better outcome than we just had. And my staff and I will not rest this winter, and we will put ourselves in that position. And there is a lot to be confident about with this team's positioning going forward into 2025. I don't want to discard that and all of, I think, the optimism that this group of players deserves with their accomplishments, despite the difficult second half, despite another early playoff exit, which makes this press conference that I'm doing a lot more difficult the second time, with that being the case. And, you know, there's a lot that goes into that, but it is my responsibility to have that not be the case and make it better, and I'm going to be laser-focused over the next few weeks in preparing for the off season, and then throughout the off season in doing whatever we can to get over this hump. And you know, the rest of it, I'm happy to address via questions. But you know, it's been a tough night. Today's a tough day. This is all very raw, very fresh. And the thrust I want to say right now is you know, the seriousness with which we will be attacking questions about what we've done well, but more importantly, what we can do better, what we need to self-examine and adjust starting this offseason and going into next season, so that this very promising, very talented group can reach a better facsimile of its potential in the postseason.
I know this is fresh, like you just said, but what are the immediate thoughts on this? Is efficiency, or this is something we absolutely have to address in the offseason?
You mean roster wise, or
like just areas that held you back?
First of all, and you know, kind of at the expense of being informative in this press conference, you know, I don't think it's fair to me or anyone to throw out a bunch of sweeping knee-jerk reactions 15, 16 hours after the season ended, with all the emotions that we're feeling. We want to examine our roster and aspects of the roster and aspects of the market. And one of the unwanted side effects of having an early playoff exit is you do get some time in October to do that more judiciously than had you gone deeper. So I'm going to make use of that. I think the main theme that's pretty evident to me from this season, regardless of the cause, is you know, the offensive side of the team was not there to the degree that I expected in the second half. And as I said a few weeks ago, I think a lot of my moves and concerns had been toward the pitching side, and you know, that sort of ended up not being our shortcoming in the second half or in October. So that's on me. But you know, we're going to take some time to look at things professionally, talk to everyone in the warehouse, every bit of information that we can, and come up with a plan to not have this happen again.
Mike, to this point, it's been heavy on the youth movement for you guys, being a rebuilding team, stocking up through the draft. Do you feel like now is possibly the time where you're looking to kind of gain more veterans, guys that have played and have experience in October to help the team?
Well, I think going back to my last answer, there were quite a bit of veteran imports on the pitching side. And, yeah, we have developed a young core that is and remains very talented. And many of those guys had great seasons. And that is going to continue to be the backbone of this team. I don't see any way that that changes that, you know, that this young core that we have selected and brought along, we believe so heavily in this group, and other people believe so heavily in this group, and with good reason. I mean, these players are good and they've done a lot. We will, to your question, I mean, we'll take a look at that this month, this week, this winter. And, you know, we'll see what we end up doing, but, certainly, you know, not immune to that thought. And, we'll be putting it in, into our process as we talk the next several weeks.
Mike, the young core of hitters that you talked about produced one run in two playoff games. I know you're going to look at the big picture, but from just watching those games, what were your thoughts?
You know, I could give a multifaceted answer. I mean, number one, it's two games, but you know, we do this 2 years in a row, and in the context of a second half where the sort of run creation just dissipated in the second half, and there were health reasons for that, but I'm not going to pretend that was the entirety of it, especially with the way that the quick postseason went. I think there are growing pains, and it's not just for the players, it's organizationally, whether that's me, the processes that we put in place, the approaches that we have put in place, the entirety of our baseball operation is experiencing growing pains, and it would be naive to not expect that to happen, but it would be a failure on my part if we're not able to adjust. So, I think we have a lineup of young players that have done exceptionally well and exhibit a lot of promise. And the expectations, I think, from this season were different. We didn't meet them. We all feel that. And it has applied a different kind of pressure that is new for a lot of people in this building. And you know, the big leagues can do that to you. So I am optimistic, bullish. I believe in this group going forward, but it's not going to just happen automatically. We're going to have to put in the right work this winter. Everyone's going to have to look internally. Self-assess, self-correct, put in the appropriate work to put themselves in a better position. That extends down to players, but it starts first and foremost right here. I know that this group will do that, and we will not rest until we get to Sarasota because of that.
How would you assess Brandon Hyde's performance this year, and will he be back in 2025?
So, look, Brandon and I, you go back to end of 2018, the organization was in a morass, 115 losses. We have been working extraordinarily closely and successfully to bring this organization out of a very dreary spot, and have produced a team that won 100 games, won the East, won 91 this year, kind of a rare back-to-back Oriole playoff team, and one that I believe is positioned for continued success the next several years going forward. And that is going to continue to be the case. And we're going to sit down immediately. I mean, we've been talking a lot lately, but we've been talking focused on how do we win these next games coming up? And that's been the case for weeks and weeks and weeks. Now that we're done, we're going to spend a lot of time together self-assessing, readjusting, coming up with a plan for the off season. And, he and I are going to be in on that together in the next season.
Okay, Mike, just to ask again, will Brandon Hyde be back in 2020?
Yes. Yeah, and look, I've never made a habit of using this immediate press conference right after the season ends to start talking about contracts, players, staff. It's not fair to me. It's not fair to anybody. We're going to examine things. Things did not go the way that we wanted this year. We did not meet expectations. There was a lot of positives this year, and I don't want to lose sight of, there are probably a lot of other more difficult press conferences than this one going on around the league, but it feels bad to us, and it was a bad outcome at the end of the season. So we had a lot of success with this group, one of the winningest teams going back more than two calendar years in baseball, and the achievements that this group have made together to pull the organization up into a spot where it's one of the most admired organizations in baseball. There are a lot of people that have had a lot of contributions to that. And so as I try to look this offseason about what can we adjust in many different ways, whether that's staffing, all the stuff I just mentioned, processes, information, all the things that we do around here, I don't want to I need to find the appropriate balance with all the positivity that we've achieved with this bad taste in our mouths and bad outcome in the playoffs and a disappointing sort of second half overall. I need some time to examine the striking the right balance between acknowledging the positives of what's going on here with our apparent shortcomings.
Mike, how did you evaluate Adley Rutschman's second half into the postseason? Was he battling an injury in this
race? Physically, he's a catcher. He gives his all to this team and this position when he's out there. And, he's naturally tired. A lot of these guys are tired. I think we're all tired, but so are other teams in the league. That's not an excuse. I think he said as much. He has done so much here, kind of turned our organization around, or a big part of it, turned around cultures both in the minor leagues and the major leagues, has been such a key to our ascent that it's been very frustrating for him and for us to see him experience the degree of struggles that he did in the second half, really for the first time since we've had him. But he is an elite competitor, an athlete, and he's our guy, and I have nothing but confidence that he's going to be back to Adley Rutschman in 2025.
So it wasn't an injury, it was just kind of wear and tear and wearing down?
Yeah, there's not an injury that I would speak to of any nature.
Mike, everybody in this room kind of understands the constraints you were under financially, the previous ownership. Are you convinced that you'll have the financial clout to do what you envision you want to do moving forward?
I'm alluding to the new ownership group. I mean, these guys are great. This is what I think Baltimore has been waiting for. They're smart. They're business savvy. They're well equipped for this. They're going to be all in to win. This is Major League Baseball, and the situations are uneven between franchises, and there are economics involved that are tricky, but this is a phenomenal ownership group. We're all very excited about it. And yeah, this has not been an easy task, rebuilding this franchise with the backdrop of everything franchise level that we've been dealing with. I think that we've brought it to a very impressive point, but it's time to get over a new hump, and for this to be the style of press conference I'm having 2 years in a row, this has not gone to plan this year. And yeah, making the playoffs is good. We won 91 games through some injury adversity. There are positives, but my goal is not to be having a press conference this early next year. Let's put it that way. And I think they're going to be very supportive and helpful in providing us with kind of the necessary backdrop from the ownership level to help us achieve that goal.
Mike, I know you guys believe in self-examination even when things are going well, but I mean, would you say that that feeling of needing to take a hard look in the mirror is clearly more than it was at this time last year?
Yeah, I do. I mean, you know, everything went really smoothly last year, and then the playoffs didn't. And, you know, this year, I felt like the first few months of the season, we picked up where we left off, and then through a variety of factors, it just dissipated. And we did rally at the very end. I felt very confident once the players got back in the last 10 games of the season and the last six in particular on the road trip. Okay, here we go. And then we got punched in the stomach again in the playoffs. And I want to do everything in my power to make sure that doesn't happen. It's not an easy thing to control. Baseball games. You know, that's why there's such long seasons, because one or two games, it's not easy to control what happens. But we're going to pretend, at least pretend, that we can control all of this, and we're going to do our damnedest to adjust, course correct. We're in a good position for that, but we need to get to a better position next year, and that's it's going to be my responsibility.
Mike, from a performance standpoint, obviously Corbin Burns performed very well for you guys this year, including in the postseason. We know it also came at a high cost, and he's going to be a free agent this offseason. What's your evaluation of that trade, and do the results of that trade, both, you know, positive and negative side of the ledger, make you feel like this is something the organization should swing more on when these kinds of opportunities arise?
He more than held up his end of the bargain. It was very impactful and impressive to see Corbin come into a brand new organization, a lot of pressure on his shoulders in a major trade, and also, you know, everybody knows he's going into free agency, in a place that he'd never been before, and to make every start like clockwork, to throw 194 innings, to spin a gem in a wild card. I felt that that was a necessary move, and we did push chips in to this season with that trade. And it is a shame that we weren't able to carry his impact further into the playoffs, because we saw what that was capable of doing for us. But that's part of sports. Sometimes it doesn't work out well. But bringing in Corbin Burns this season certainly did work out well from my point of view, and it was just tremendously impressive watching him do his thing.
I know you tried to look at everything, but is organizational philosophies in terms of on-field play, we know you guys are heavy in the analytics, do you plan to stay as firm onto that? Is there anything in that realm that you have thought about maybe modifying?
Yeah, I think our overall philosophies, player acquisition, drafting, player development, advanced scouting, pro scouting. There's so many amateur scouting. There's so many facets of baseball operations. Look, by and large, I think this is one of the better organizations in baseball. But one of the ways that we have become one of the better organizations, and that I plan to have us stay the better organizations, is we're hard on ourselves. And we will look at everything, and we do that every winter. But it's a little easier to do when you have this punch in the gut and this bad taste in your mouth, and it puts you in a puts everyone in a mode where we have the kind of people around here that want constructive criticism and want to continue to get better. So I think that by and large, you know, when you're one of the winningest teams in the last 2.5 years, and we're doing it in a small market, and we're doing it against good competition, and we're coming from where we came from, it'd be really, I think, it'd be really tough on us to indict the underlying, the pervasive philosophies of our baseball operations. But there is room for improvement, and we will find those improvements this winter, and confident that will lead to better late season outcomes than what we just experienced. One of the few guys that's been here since that first spring training, that when our kind of new group came in 2019, made an immediate impression, and he's been a hero for us. And he has one of the key figures in bringing this franchise back to relevance, playoff competitiveness, excitement, filling the ballpark. He's been terrific. I love the guy personally. I think everyone in that locker room does. But this is Major League Baseball. We've got business coming up. There's the time and the place for that, and it's not here or and now.
Do you have any injury updates on Batista, Mateo, Rodriguez, any of the other guys that ended the season on the injured list? And do you still expect those guys to be ready for opening day?
My expectation at this time are the three that you mentioned, which I think I heard Batista, Mateo, and Grayson. They should be more or less full go at spring training, but obviously this can evolve. But right now, very confident planning around those guys being healthy players in 2025 for the totality of the season, more or less.
Oh, sorry. You know, I think you told us during the season, you know, there is no blueprint for dealing with a kid like Jackson Holliday. You also had Kobe Mayo make his major league debut this season. What do you make of those players who are still very special prospects in your system? And, you know, how does the organization evaluate itself for just the management of those guys and trying to get them to be productive players at a high level for a high-level team?
Well, first of all, I evaluate myself for the management of any players. There are a lot of people involved in that, but it's my group that does it. They are special players, special talent, special prospects. They're consensus guys across baseball. They're both incredibly young. Kobe had an excellent season. Jackson wasn't in AAA as much as Kobe, but he had an excellent season in AAA. And it was really both of their first long-term exposure to AAA. And, you know, like a lot of young players, struggled immediately in the major leagues. I think we saw some really good flashes from Jackson. So totally 100% incredibly bullish on both of those guys. But yeah, as I said earlier in the season, a lot early in the season, you know, the it was a tough decision how to handle his debut coming out of spring training. And it didn't go the way that we wanted or hoped or expected, and that's on me.
Mike, where do you see Mayo defensively long-term? I know he worked more at first base this year in addition to third. Do you see him even as an option as a corner outfielder? Like, where do you think he fits? Because, you know, if you kind of look at it on paper, it looks like Holliday second, Gunner short, Westberg at third. You know, where does Mayo fit defensively long-term?
Yeah, it's remained a little bit of a longer answer than I'd like because, you know, when you're his size and body type, you know, first base is going to be the easiest position for you to play. And he's probably the farthest along at first base, despite most of his minor league repetitions coming at third. But as we saw, and even in the big leagues, he can play third base. Now, there's a whole lot of competition to play third base when you're a major league player, and where you're ultimately going to fall in and play is kind of based on who your teammates are. So we have faced a kind of a tricky question with him with how quickly his bat moved up through AAA of how much time to invest in first base, how much time to invest in third base, do we explore other stuff? And it hasn't been easy to do, but he's to his credit, he's moved along so quickly that it's made it, that's the big reason why it's been kind of an unclear question. And I don't have a new plan at this moment in time that's different than what we've seen last year. But it's very possible that, you know, when we're talking next this winter or later towards spring training, You know, we do have a different plan to articulate, but I think it's going to depend on a lot of the context of what we do with other players on the roster.
Has Rayfield ever been a consideration for him?
It's come up in discussions. I think that would be a pretty long term investment project with him because he's a shortstop in high school and he's played infield his whole life, and so that's a big adjustment. And then you know you talk about his body type. My expectation is that would be a pretty significant move. We have it has come up, and I wouldn't pull it off the table.
Mike, when you acquired Corbin Burns, you said that your moves at that point were a little bit weighted towards the present than the future, as you kind of manage the long-term health of the organization, and you needed to focus more on the present in moments like that. Do you feel like there's another level of focusing on the present in terms of making moves for 2025 as you sit here right now?
Yeah, we had an incredible 2023 regular season, and then very, very disappointing playoffs. And given the backdrop of how we got to 2023, I did feel urgency to address what I thought we needed to intensify our odds to repeat in the division or come close to it, which we came relatively close, but you know we didn't repeat. But more importantly, to put ourselves in a position to advance in the playoff format that we have, and I think he was a big part of that. It didn't work out, and I think that desire was coming from a healthy and well placed place in my intentions, wanting to do that for this team with what I felt was going to be another step forward. I didn't execute perfectly, and some things didn't break our way. And, the baseball, sometimes when you try too hard in baseball, it can backfire on you. And, we've got to be careful about that too. And as I talk about the last several weeks, all of us getting back to an approach that works well for us, I'm going to have to be, careful to trust our well-studied and long-standing beliefs on the best way to run this team. So clearly, after this disappointing exit, we're all going to feel a lot of urgency to not have this be the case next year. But what I'm saying is I'm going to have to be smart about how to make that happen.
One potential critique of the offense, you hear the Orioles are too reliant on home runs, too reliant on slugs. Moving forward, do you think that's a valid critique? Does there need to be more variety, whether it's on base or other ways to score?
Yeah, definitely experienced the frustration of that. Who didn't, been around baseball and a lot of the very best information out there in baseball my entire life and career. And getting hits, getting RBI with runners in scoring position, there's a lot of evidence that that can be kind of difficult to control on a year-over-year, month-to-month basis. It's a tricky thing, hitting. That said, I am going to behave as though it is under our control, and we are going to examine everything about our offensive approach, teachings, the mix of personnel, the kind of things that you mentioned, and put ourselves in position to where we feel like we've addressed any potential shortcomings there. Because I don't believe it's necessarily all chance. And I do think there are things that our organization and then ultimately our players will be able to do to improve our odds in that front, because it's not a good experience going through that for months where we're struggling to get runners in from second base. And that wasn't the case last year. We were great at it with a lot of the same guys. So a lot of confidence that can correct next year, but it's going to involve some work by us.
You said that the ownership, the new ownership group, has been very supportive, and Are they encouraging you to be more aggressive in the free agent market than you have been in the past?
Well, I think it's early for that discussion. I mean, we just got done. We've been focused on these playoff games, and we've got some planning weeks ahead of us. I believe that they are well equipped to put us and the front office and everyone in a position where people have the resources to do their jobs well, but in a position to run this franchise optimally. And that comes in a lot of different shapes and sizes. The desire and the wherewithal and the expertise is there to do that.
Given that, Mike, a lot of the highest paid players on your payroll this season are not under contract for next season. I know you don't have a crystal ball and you don't know how the offseason is going to play out. But when you go into the offseason, when November 5th, or wherever that date hits, and everything went your way, if the offseason went the way that you planned, would payroll be higher in 2025 than it is this year?
I could dance around that, Jacob, because it's early, and I don't think it's really fair before I get into my planning. But yeah, I would be pretty confident that we're gonna keep investing in the major league payroll, given what we've got here and the upward slope that we hope to get back on. So we'll see what happens. We're going to be smart about it, and if it doesn't happen for some reason, it's not going to be because the financial support wasn't there. It's going to be because the people running this team thought it was the right thing to do from a number of levels on a case-by-case basis. But I want to reiterate that I don't expect that to be the case.
Mike, I know how you approach the trade deadline depends on where you are at that time of the year. Assuming you are in the same spot that you've been in the last 2 years, do you feel like your approach to the deadline will change? Is there anything that you've taken from these last two deadlines that maybe you want to apply in the future?
Yeah, look, I'm hard on myself, as I should be. And when when we don't propel ourselves through the first round of the playoffs, division series, wild card, don't win a game, I feel like, I look at the things that I did or didn't do and what could have been. We did get a lot of positive impacts from the trade deadline this year on the pitching side, and those guys are back in large degree next year. So that's good. It's tough. The deadline has reshaped quite a bit with the extra wild card spots. Just look at the other trades that were made or didn't get made. And, I think our image of that event, it may be different since those rule changes have taken place than it was the previous 20, 30 years. I also am very aware of things, approaches, processes, decisions that I feel like I can improve upon in any move that I make, and I have a really good idea of what those are going to be, but I'm going to be spending a lot more time refining the answer to that question as well this winter.
Mike, I don't know if there's really a quantitative way to evaluate this, but given the struggles the second half, and obviously you guys had a ton of injuries, kind of going into this back against the wall game yesterday, down 0-1, is resilience something that you try to evaluate from the club or even individual ball players at how they've handled just bad results and how they do or don't bounce back from them?
My assessment of the resilience in that locker room is that it's very high. I mean, this is a group that pulled this organization up kind of on the sweat of their own backs without a ton of resources thrown behind them, through a lot of adverse events. And, we all figured out a way to do it, and those players did as well. And, it's a hard thing for them. You know, we're competing at a high level against other teams that are competing too, and somebody's got to win and somebody's got to lose. It's a zero-sum affair, and we just came up short against the Royals. But they were going after it too. They've been through similar experiences. Our guys have, to me, exhibited a lot of toughness in bringing the franchise to this point. But it is time to absorb the playoff failures that we've just gone through and figure out ways within ourselves to put those in the rearview mirror. And they're gonna figure out how to do that.